Welcome to the Folktale Project. This is Dan Schulz. Today we have our final Belgian folktale of the week, and in it you'll hear some echoes of a much more famous tale, one that you'll probably instantly recognize, and if you haven't already guessed it by the title, we're looking at a Hansel and Gretel style tale. However, instead of having a cannibalistic old witch as the villain, here we have a wolf who, quite honestly, I feel like gets the short end of the stick. This is The Sugar Candy House. Jan and Janette were brother and sister. They lived near a big wood, and every day they used to go to there to play, fishing for sticklebacks in the streams and making necklaces of red berries. One day they wandered farther from their home than usual, and all of a sudden they came to a brook crossed by a pretty red bridge. On the other side of the bridge, half hidden among the trees, they espied the roofs of a little pink cottage, which, when they came closer, they found to be built entirely of sugar candy. Here was a delightful find for a little boy and girl who loved sweet stuff. They lost no time in breaking off pieces of the roof and popping them into their mouths. Now, in that house there lived an old wolf whose name was Garon. He was paralyzed in one leg and could not run very fast, but in all other respects, he was as fierce and strong as he had been in his youth. When he heard Jan and Janette breaking off bits of his roof, he growled out, "Who is touching my sugar candy house?" Then he came limping out to see who it was, but by that time the children were safely hidden in the woods. "Who dares to touch my sugar candy house?" roared the wolf again. Then Jan replied, "It's the wind so mild, it's the wind so mild, that lovable child." This satisfied the old wolf, and back he went into his house grumbling. The next day, Jan and Janette once again crossed over the little red bridge and broke some more candy from the wolf's house. Out came Garon again, bristling all over. "Who is touching my sugar candy house?" he roared. And Jan and Janette both replied, "It's the wind so mild, it's the wind so mild, that lovable child."
"Very well," said the wolf,
and he went back again, but this time there was a gleam of suspicion in his eye. The next day was stormy, and hardly had Jan and Janette reached the sugar candy house than the wolf came out and surprised them in the very act of breaking a piece off his windowsill.
"Oh," said he, "it was the wind so mild, was it? That lovable child, eh? Precious, lovable children, I must say. I'll eat them up."
And he sprang at Jan and Janette, who took their heels and ran off as fast as their legs could carry them. Garon pursued them at a good speed in spite of his stiff paw, and although he never gained upon them, yet he kept them in sight and refused to give up the chase. The children looked back once or twice and saw that the wolf was still following them, but they were not very much afraid because they were confident of their ability to outrun him. All of a sudden they found their way barred by a river. There was no bridge across it, and the water was very deep. What were they to do? Nearer and nearer came the wolf. In the middle of the river, some ducks were swimming, and Jan called out to them, little ducks, carry us over the river on your backs, for if you do not, the wolf will get us." So the ducks came swimming up, and Jan and Janette climbed each onto the back of one, and were carried safely over to the other bank. Presently, the wolf in his turn came to the river. He had seen how the children had managed to cross, and he roared out at the ducks in a terrible voice,
"Come and carry me over, or I'll eat you all up."
"Very well," answered the ducks, and they swam to the bank. And Garon balanced himself on four of them, one paw on the back of each. But they had no intention of carrying the wicked old wolf to the other side, for they did not love him or any of his tribe. And moreover, they objected to his impolite way of asking a favor. So, at a signal from the leader, all the ducks dived in midstream and left old Garon struggling in the water. Three times he went down, and three times he came up. But the fourth time he sank, never to rise any more. That was the end of old Garon, and a good job too, I say. I don't know what became of his sugar candy house, but I dare say if you could find the wood, and the sun has not melted the candy, or the rain washed it away, you might break off a bit of it for yourselves. And that is The Sugar Candy House. Again, a Belgian folktale, and one in the vein of Hansel and Gretel, although coming after Hansel and Gretel. And I still feel as if in this case, and I sort of feel in Hansel and Gretel as well, the villain here is just a pensioner trying to live out his retirement. And all of a sudden, two children come up and start eating his house. That's more than enough reason to chase them off. Now, eat them properly, I won't say. But chase them off, absolutely. This is Dan Schulz for the Folktale Project. Don't forget that you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, Overcast, anywhere you like to get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Folktale Project. You can find us on Auto Radio, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Spotify, anywhere you like to listen. And you can always head over to folktaleproject.com, where you'll find a new story waiting for you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And don't forget to listen next week. We'll be off to Canada with three new tales. As always, thank you so much for listening.